We've had Jeremy Gall with us. Well, first of all, we had I Give Life training on Friday night and Saturday. And then Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, we had Evangelist Jeremy Gall here with us and had a lot of things happen. Very interesting services. A lot of people were ministered to. A lot of people testified of things that God did in their lives. And tonight, we just want to kind of conclude in a way that would bring glory to God and in a way that would acknowledge what he's done and just in a way that would encourage all of us as we move along here and everything God has for us. And I just want to just start by sharing something. Last night in the service, Jeremy Gall had talked about having a establishing in your family a legacy of the miraculous, and said a lot of good things. I'll just say this: if you were not here last night, they posted it already on the podcast. You should go and listen to it. I think it was just really, really ministered to me. I'm definitely going to be listening to that several times. Just a lot of really good things were said last night. He got over into teaching and not just, you know, being the Jeremy Gall machine gun preacher. And so it was good. There was a lot of really great stuff said every service, but last night was particularly rich. So anyway, he was talking about that, and I just realized when he was sharing it touched me. Nate shared with me today it touched him, but it touched me kind of probably in a different way, because I realized I was raised in a family where we had a legacy of miracles, and it was something that I had known and known in my life. But it's so easy, no matter how you're raised, it's so easy to let it slip. You know, a lot of Christians, they read the stories. In fact, I was talking to somebody recently, and they said something to me that you got to understand from where I'm from and my background and my understanding. It just seemed really foreign. But he was saying this to me. He said, you know, I read those scriptures in the Bible, like Jeremy Gall was reading in the service. He's talking about how Jesus went to Nazareth, and there he could do no mighty works except he laid his hand on a few sick folks and they were healed. And he's talking about, you know, Jesus, and as he spoke to the wind and the wave and they obeyed him, he made reference to different miracles Jesus did. And this person said to me, you know, I've been in church for years. In fact, I've been a minister. He said, but when I read those parts of the Bible where it talks about the powerful works that Jesus did, I just sort of just read over them and read by them and don't really stop and think much about them. And I was thinking about the fact that I've read several different books on the account of Abraham Lincoln being assassinated. Have any of y'all ever read any books about Abe Lincoln being assassinated? I got a good one to recommend to you if you want to read one, but we'll talk about that later. But anyway, but you know, when I read about that, I just read from a curiosity point of view, and I read about it like it's a historical something that happened. But you know, Abe Lincoln getting shot affected our nation's history, but it didn't really affect me personally very much. You understand what I'm saying? Like I've never read there and cried because, you know, this was a dear loved one of mine, and I've never read it and thought that I was in any danger of being assassinated. It's just like a historical account. I believe it happened, but it doesn't have anything to do with me. And this guy was relating to me how reading the works of Jesus through the scripture, reading the gospels, how it was. And it was the very same way I feel about Abraham Lincoln's assassination. I believe it happened, but it didn't really have anything to do with me today. In that same way, when he would read the works of Jesus, he would have that same reaction. Like, it happened, but I don't really know much about how that applies to my life today, or how that affects me, or what has that got to do with my here and now. Isn't that interesting? And I think a lot of Christians read, and they think, oh, well, that's who Jesus was, and they just keep on reading. Or they hear those stories, and they think, well, that's just a good, nice Bible story, and they keep on reading. And they don't recognize that everything that Jesus did, he did to show us the Father. He did to show us what God's idea of a man, a believer, a person who puts his trust and reliance on God, a man that the Father God lives in. That's what he looks like. And he did it to show us not only what we can experience through God, but what others should experience as God moves through us. It's a whole different perspective. And so it was very, very interesting to me to hear someone else that didn't have my same perspective. And I'm like, okay, I get that. Well, as I was talking, you know, I just realized, though, all of us can let what we know slip. Have you ever let something you know slip? Have you ever let a good habit slip? You ever conquered something only to wake up and realize you got to conquer it again? I mean, I know people that I know a lady, she quit smoking. She had a terrible addiction to nicotine, and she quit. And it was like a big moment in her life and a big celebration. And just like, she hated it and would never go back to it. And 3 years later, she went back to it. She let a good habit slip. and she lets something good in her life slip. And it's the same way. It's funny how we have a hard time letting bad habits slip. We should just let the bad habits slip. Isn't that right? That's a good thing. That's a good, write that down. I should let my bad habits slip instead of letting my good habits slip. It's easier to let a good habit slip. But anyway, I was just thinking about that. All of us, even though we, wherever we are in our place of trusting God and understanding who He is and who He's made us to be, we can let things slip. And that's why I really enjoy having, someone like Jeremy Gall come in and prod us. And sometimes it feels literally like a cattle prod. Excuse me, I almost knocked myself off there. Just in the sense, kind of a jolt, in the sense that it reminds you of some things. You're like, oh my goodness, I had let that slip, or I'd forgotten that, or that's just become dormant in my life. And we're talking about, he spends a lot of time encouraging us about the miraculous. And I was just thinking about that. I believe in the miraculous, don't you? I mean, that's normal in my life. I know that I've seen many miracles. I've seen God do outstanding things. I've seen God really change things. And not only that, I was raised, you understand, some of y'all that come here on Wednesday nights frequently, you understand that I spent most of my growing up years with my short granny. Any of y'all ever heard of my short granny? Come on, Rhonda, you know about my short granny. My short granny who was going on to be with the Lord now. But my short granny, when she was 26 years old, she died. My dad was only about 6 years old. But my short granny died. And my short granny was dead for about a day. And they had this great idea because they didn't want my short granny to stay dead. And they had her all laid out. Used to, in those days, they'd lay people out. I mean, this is in the old timey time, and they'd lay people out there in the house in the parlor, and just come, and that's what they'd sit up all night looking at them. I don't know what they were waiting, maybe to see if they were going to sit up or what, but they had her all laid out there, and one of them in the family got a bright idea. Said, we know a man who knows something about the miraculous, and a man who knows something about the power of God. Why don't we go get him and see if he'll come out here and help us, see if he can do anything with this. And so they went to get him, and he was a college professor. They had to journey over to get him and had to wait till he was available and then get him, and he came. And it was kind of like the thing with Jesus. It wasn't 4 days, and they didn't put her in a tomb. And I don't think she was stinking, but she was dead for a long time. And he came in, and he went in by himself into the room where she was, and he called her back, and she came back in her body, and she was raised up. And that's how I knew my short granny. Otherwise, I wouldn't have ever known her. But I was raised up knowing that. And I was raised up with that being my reality. You see? So I know God does amazing things because I had my short granny there. You see what I'm saying? Everybody in the family knew that to be true. It wasn't just like somebody read about it in some magazine somewhere and thought that their cousin's brother's, somebody. This was my short granny, and everybody knew it. So I know that God is a great big God. I didn't just read about Lazarus in the Bible. I wasn't there when it happened to short granny, but I knew my short granny. So I know that, and I tell you that tonight to tell you that the miraculous has always been a part of what God wants to do. It's just most of the time people aren't aware of it. Most of the time people don't dare to believe it. People don't dare to reach out for it. But tonight we're gonna move along here in the service in just a moment. But I wanted to show y'all a clip here of something I saw today. Thank God for YouTube. I don't know what you watch on YouTube. I don't know if all you can see is cats. But if all you're watching on YouTube is cats, you're missing out because there's some really good stuff on YouTube. And cats are kind of cute. No, I mean, there might be worse stuff you're watching. Quit watching that. Cats are okay, but don't watch cats and avoid watching some really good stuff. And tonight I'm just going to show you a little clip from, it's a man, his name is Oral Roberts. Any of y'all ever heard of him? Oral Roberts, he's going on to be with the Lord. But Oral Roberts had a big impact in my life because Matt and I met at Oral Roberts University. And he'd had a big impact on my life way before that because when I was just a little girl, I won't even go into the story, but let me just tell you this. He's had a big impact on my life all along. But this is him later in his life, and he's appearing on a television program, and he's sharing a testimony. And the reason I want to show it to you tonight is because I know there are people here tonight you've been ministered to. Maybe you were ministered to or prayed for in one of the recent services. And maybe you didn't immediately tell a difference in your body, or maybe you haven't had the result that you immediately thought, hey, I should have. Or maybe you've been here and saw other people get ministered to, and you thought that they went away in the same condition that they were when they came in and you were disappointed. But I want to share with you a testimony, and I want to tell you, you don't know the whole story. And I want to remind you that God is a God who is always and forever at work in our lives. And I want to tell you tonight, if you were ministered to not let go of what you received, whether it was in the last few days or a long time ago, don't let go. And maybe you'll be encouraged, and maybe you'll learn something by what you're about to hear. You got it back there? You can show it to us? And y'all just watch this for a minute.
To be very careful to point this out, not everybody got healed. And that was one of the criticisms that I faced. They said, if you're called to pray for the sick, why don't you get everybody healed? I said, well, you answer me a question. Why was it when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, he could do no mighty miracle there because of their unbelief? And Jesus himself failed in Nazareth, according to the Bible. He could only heal a few sick folk and no miracle. I said, you answer that for me. And they had no answer for it. I said, the main reason everybody doesn't get healed, I can't heal if I don't give the Word of God so people's faith can build up inside them and come with faith and not doubt and fear. There are no healings. There are no miracles. Well, once in a while, some of somebody's faith would be more than mine. Let me tell you, one healing, little Willie Phelps from Lynchburg, Virginia, was, I'm going to guess, 11 or 12 years of age, who was struck down with polio. Remember, you don't remember, you're too young, that polio thing struck in America. Struck this little boy's right leg and shriveled it and drew it up 3 inches. And the doctors had built a steel frame from his hip down attached to a specially built-up shoe. A shoe that was 3 inches taller than the left foot shoe, and gave him crutches, and little Willie could walk and go to school. They heard I was coming to Roanoke, Virginia. They lived in Lynchburg. They were farmers. And the little boy told his parents and wanted to come, and they brought him, and the crowds were so big they couldn't get in. I was in an auditorium. They couldn't get in the building, but they kept coming. And they came to the last day. And I had finished my sermon, the altar call, the prayer line, dismissed the crusade, and was on my way out. When this little boy broke away from his parents and came in a side room and put his crutches between his shoulders and arms, waiting on me. And I didn't know he was in the building. I was walking out to get in the car and to fly back to Tulsa. And I looked in the open doors. I walked down the corridor and I saw this little boy sitting in there by himself. And I walked in. I said, son, what are you doing in here? He said, I'm waiting for Oral Roberts. He said, I'm waiting for Oral Roberts. I said, well, son, I'm Oral Roberts. He said, well, I'm supposed to be healed today. And I said, Willie, he had told me his name, Willie Phelps. I said, Willie, I have prayed for several thousand people today. It's the end of the crusade, and everybody who stays over can be prayed for that I haven't gotten to. Because I'll just line you up in quarter of a mile long lines, and I'll come down the line, I'll pray for you until I fall out. I was determined to pray for everybody that came to be healed. And I said, I don't have any strength. And when my strength is low, I don't have faith. He said, I don't know about that. But I'm supposed to be healed today. And I said, well, Willie, if I touch you with my right hand in the name of Jesus, would you believe? He said, yes. Because I'm supposed to be healed today. I touched him. As far as I knew, nothing happened. I left. And I returned to Roanoke a year later with the big tent. And one night, some people brought up a little boy who's running toward me without crutches or without a built-up shoe or the brace on his leg. It was Willie Phelps. And I said, what happened? And my, they took his pictures and everything, and he said, his mother said, when we got home, Willie said, Mom and Dad, get across the room. I'm going to take this brace off, and I'm going to walk to you. And said, remember, Mom, you promised tomorrow to get me a new pair of shoes. And he walked. And the next morning, his mother took him to a shoe store, and at noon took him to school. The little kids had been used to taking his crutches away from him, maybe making him cry. He walked in his schoolroom by himself. His leg was lengthened, and his shoe, I mean, foot was normal. His leg was normal. His teacher and the classroom almost broke up. She said, Willie, what happened? And he told her. She said, it must have cost a lot. He said, it didn't cost a penny. Now, we have followed Willie Phelps for nearly 30 years. The last time we sent our agent to Lynchburg, Virginia, he was out deer hunting in the mountains. Now, why am I telling you that? I tell the critics about Willie Phelps and people like him. It's not always the people who come who get healed there where the people can see them. Sometimes my heart feels broken because they don't seemingly get healed and they walk off like they were. But you don't know what happens when they get home. So many of them get healed, and then you learn about it. That's what keeps me going.
Praise God. I love that. But I don't know about that, but I'm supposed to be healed today. Hallelujah. That reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood, where Jesus didn't even know she was there. He didn't even know what she was doing. But she was saying, I'm supposed to be healed today. If I can just get and grab hold of the hem of his garment, I'm supposed to be healed today. And she was. And Willie Phelps was. Praise God. Now, I just want to remind you, we have a saying around here. I hadn't said it in a while, but I just want to remind you, we have the same God. He's the same God. He's the same God who's the God of the woman with issue of blood, the same God who was the God of my short granny, the same God who's the God of Willie Phelps, and a whole bunch of other people. He's the same God. Praise God. So whatever's going on with you, I just want to remind you, he's the same God. We just sang about his name. And it's because of the name of Jesus and faith in that name. Even in that testimony, if I lay my hand on you in the name of Jesus, will you believe? It's not about Oral Roberts. It's not about any person. It's about Jesus and his name, who he is and what he's done. His power. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want to have some testimonies from what's happened, not just in the last couple of days, but we had youth camp was a week ago, some time ago. We had youth camp somewhat recently, maybe 10 days ago. I don't know. It's like all one long day, and every now and then I took a nap. And seems like. And so anyway, I just wanted to get some testimonies. I was going to start with Grayson. I want you to come up here, buddy. I want you to tell a couple things. I want you to tell about Wendy. Did I just see Wendy? Oh, there she is. Maybe Wendy should come up here and help him tell. Yeah, Wendy, why don't you come up here? Grace will be with you. Just bring your baby. We like babies as well as everything. We do babies. Wendy, when Grayson was just like your baby in your arms, I used to stand up here and talk with him in my arms. Not this building, but another one. And we were lucky if I wasn't nursing him. No, I'm just teasing. Just trying to make Grayson embarrassed. Here, why don't you just tell some of the stuff you're going to tell?
Well, me and Wendy went out on the streets together. Wendy says hey. We went out on the streets together on Saturday. And Wendy, you've never done anything like that before, have you?
No.
She said it was so crazy. She was really excited though. We had, of course, well. Leah was with Miss Selma. We had her three. She has three more sons who were out there with us. And then we had Macy Lewis with us. So we had a whole crowd of people walking around with us. And we were going around doing what God has called us to do. We were going around sharing the gospel with people. If people needed to be healed, we were praying with them to be healed. Whatever people needed, we were looking to be Jesus to our worlds that day. And so we went out and came across First Lady, who was open to the gospel, receptive to the gospel. Wendy shared with her some stuff. I was supposed to be training Wendy, but Wendy was just going for stuff. She's just sharing, just pouring out from the inside of her, different stuff she knows, different insights she has. Was sharing with this lady. This lady got saved. Praise God. She got born again. She had back pain that said it was all gone. And she said she couldn't feel any pain. So praise God. And we kept moving along. And then we came up to, so let me just explain this story real quick. So I chased down this guy. His name, he's going that way. So I take two of her sons with me. I'm like, let's go, guys. They're little guys. They're running after me. We talk to this guy. This guy's not interested in talking. He does not want to be there. And I'm like, it's okay. We're not trying to force anything on you, man. Just know God loves you. He's got a good plan for your life. So he goes on his way. So we're coming back down. Hey there. We're coming back down. And as we're talking to some other people, that guy comes back by, and he stops a car on the road. And so I go up, and this car is playing loud music. They're having a conversation, not something like, I'm like, I don't know if I want to walk up and interrupt everything, but hey, why not? Let's go do it. So I'm Grayson, so I was like, why not? But so I walk up, and I start talking to this guy in the car. His name's Travis, and while I'm doing that, Wendy is taking the other squad, and they're going over, and they're talking to these girls over there on the side. So I'm talking to this guy who's driving the car. His name's Travis. I'm telling him he's already saved. He's been born again. I'm just encouraging him. I'm resharing the gospel with him because he was a little confused about why you were going to heaven. He was talking about following commandments and stuff. And I said, man, forget all that. It's about Jesus. And once you have Jesus, then you can live for God. Then you can do this and you can do that. But it's not about, that's not the reason you're getting into heaven. So I'm sharing them about all that God did for him, about what it means to have right standing with God. And this guy's being really ministered to. And I said, God wants to do supernatural things in your life. He wants to do miraculous things in your life. And I said, you know what? You have a blessed day, man. You know, after I finished the conversation, had a good talk. Come around the other side, I find Wendy and Macy over there ministering to this group of girls. And they said, this girl has ankle pain. She said she fell in the tub, right? And we're not giving away extra details here. We're getting to the spot. I'm letting Wendy talk in just a second now. So I'm just talking about this. She's a little fireball out there in the street. So she's just pouring into these girls. She's telling me God wants you to be healed right now, right here. Wendy and Macy prayed for this girl to be healed, and immediately she was walking around like this. I mean, it was pretty noticeable. She was saying, like, yeah, I got pain in my foot. And afterwards, she's just walking around like this. I was like having her stomp her foot. There was no pain there. Wendy and Macy prayed for her. She's completely healed right there. I turned around and I said, Travis, did you see that girl just got healed? And he says, that girl's my daughter. And I said, she's your daughter. And I was like, what's going on? So it turns out that girl was his daughter. And I said, remember a second ago when I said God wants to do supernatural things in your life? This is him knocking on your door right here. This is him moving in your life right now. And it's not just healing that he wants to bring, but he wants to bring healing to your whole life, to your whatever you're going through. You need peace. You need joy. You need provision. Whatever you need, God has it for you, man. This is just proof. He was like, man, I really needed that today. So then, mind you, we were only out on the streets for, 30, 45 minutes? We were out there for a short time. So then we leave there, and we go right down. We go right down, and we start ministering to this other lady. She says she had a stroke, right? It's an older lady. She had a stroke, and she said she didn't have her whole left side. What was she saying? It was like numb and pain, and she said she didn't. Those are two contradictory things, but she said it was numb and in pain. So we were like, whatever's going on with you, God can heal you right now. And then she had a daughter right there who said she had pain or pain in her thumb.
She had found the door and had missed part of it.
Yeah, so part of her thumb was gone. And so we prayed for both of them. The lady who said her whole side was numb said, I feel something tingly happening in my whole left side. And she says, man, I just feel good. She's walking away. Then she goes back to, like, cleaning a fish. I don't know why she had it. She was cleaning a fish on the ground. I don't know what was going on. I didn't ask any questions. So then I turned to this lady. And again, I've been out on the streets, and I've done this I've done this a lot. I've seen this a lot. I wasn't doing any of this. Wendy and Macy are the ones doing everything. And then, I mean, well, yeah, I know, but I mean, they were the ones stepping out. God was doing everything. Let's be clear here. We all know this. God's the one. It's nothing special about us. But Wendy and Macy are doing this for the first time. They're being bold. They're stepping out, and God's coming through. And God will come through for you whenever you step out and do something. And so then this lady, so she said, yeah, the daughter here, she said she had pain in her thumb, didn't have any pain in her thumb. Then she says, you know, actually, my wrist is actually what hurts the most. And she says, I just got this kind of nagging pain in it. She couldn't twist it. She knows all the details here. I don't know why I'm the one with the microphone. She says she can't move it. It's got all this pain. And so I'm like, well, God can heal you again. Wendy lays hands right on her. It says, God's going to heal you. God's going to change things. So we pray for her. She says it gets a little bit better. And so we're like, if God can change it a little, he can change it a lot. So we pray for her again. He says, again, it's a little bit better. And I said, on a scale of, if it was a 10, if that was the pain when I walked up, what's it right now? And she says, it's about a 4 now. And so we said, we're going to pray one more time. God's going to completely heal it, okay? So we pray for it again, lay hands on her. And she says, whoa, right when we get done praying, she said, I felt like, right, as soon as you laid hands on me, I felt like the pain that was in my wrist, it was all right here. She felt like it just shot out of my elbow, like right out of my arm. It just moved right out, and it's gone. Then she's just moving her wrist all around, doing weird arm contortions. And she's saying, all the pain's gone, everything's gone. And Jesus healed her right then and there. And it was a real encouragement for her. And then, for us too, yeah. I mean, it was encouraging all around. So that was the last lady that we talked to that day. Then what happened? Yeah. So Wendy's all stirred up. Wendy's like pumped up. She's got her kids with her, you know.
But she had been dealing with depression, and she has, like, 2 little kids to raise, and she had been going through just a heavy burden. And I was like, man, there's so much more than just this and your wrist. Like, he wants you completely whole, and we all know that. It's a whole, sorry, making you work. Okay. It's like the whole, your whole being. He wants your whole being well. And so that was encouraging. We just got to bless her whole little family there. But and remind her of her mission as a believer to raise these young believers and that she has that same power within her. And then, yeah, we were hungry. So afterwards, I took my 4 little kiddos and we went to Little Caesars because that's super healthy. And but I don't believe that was coincidence because I was very bold after watching Grayson just really go after it. I mean, a man like was totally walking away like, no, I'm good. But his kids were like, sure, we'll take cold water. And I was like, that was Jesus because kids are not afraid and they are quick to believe. And so just watching like him pursue, like that showed me that's the Father's heart. He, even when we're like, you know, he's like, I'm coming after you. I love you. You're worth it. So we're just in there picking up some pizzas and we have to wait for a minute. And then I just felt that little seed planted in my spirit, like, hey, does someone here have pain? And so I asked the lady that was helping us and, cause our eyes met and she just kind of held a gaze and I was like, maybe it's you. So, I just asked her, you know, are you hurting? And, do you have any pain in your body? And she said, yeah, my knee, but actually my manager and I were just talking and her back is really hurting her. So she called her over and was like, oh my goodness, people are going to be coming in the door. It's like you start to get out of that mindset, but then Jesus just brought me back. He's like, no, this is your mission right now. So my kids are over here looking at bouncy balls and they're very aware of what's happening around them. And, so I just get to lay hands on them and pray for them. And they were kind of like shocked, like, well, that was weird. And I was like, yes, but it was Jesus. Jesus' love is like pouring out on you. Even while you're at work, he just wants you to know he loves you and that you're worth it. And so it was neat. And then one girl's like, what church are you from? And I was like, oh, well, I just came from an awesome church down the road. But it was just neat because it changes their whole day, you know. And I might be that crazy woman that came in Little Caesars, but that didn't leave that way. You know, they got to see that this is this is God reaching out to me, meeting me where I'm at, reaching out.
Amen. You got anything to share from the weekend? Praise God.
Thank you all for sharing. Gina, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to come and just give a quick testimony about what happened with your sister. Because it's your story, too. Jana has been coming to our church since the very end of October, and she came scared. Real scared, came terrified, and had told me if she ever came to our church, for sure she'd have to sit on the back row and close to the door so she could run right out if she needed to. Because she thought those people are going to be weird if they talk about things like that. And then she got here, and either she got weird, too, or it wasn't as weird as she thought. One or the other.
But
the love overcame the weirdness. Okay. And so anyway, so she came. But all along I've been hearing about this sister in Jacksonville, this sister in Jacksonville, this sister in Jacksonville. Her name's Jody. And then one thing I found out about Jody is that Jody's had terrible, terrible health issues. And Jody's a Christian, a believer, but she's had terrible health issues. And she, in fact, came to the training on Saturday, and someone ministered to her, and she got up and told about the changes in her body there. And it, part of her testimony was that she had 8 kinds of arthritis, which I didn't even know there were 8 kinds of arthritis. I tell you, the devil's a mean devil if there's 8 kinds of arthritis, because even one kind is one kind too many. So I'm glad that Jesus, he bore all our sickness and carried all our disease, all 8 kinds of arthritis.
She's really, really sick. She's got scleroderma. She's got...
She used to have all that?
Yeah. She couldn't move, and she's locked up, and she's been to doctor after doctor, and they finally told her, there's nothing that we can do. It's just surpassed the point of any help. And they said the only thing you can do is take these drugs. Well, we didn't want to take the drugs, and I say we, but she's just really had a struggle with it. And I've been telling her since I came here, every time I leave church, I go out to the parking lot, and I get on the phone, and we're crying, and I'm like, this is so wonderful, you just can't believe it. And so she finally came when we were doing this, and she was so in love with Harry and Grayson from being in India.
She's reading their blogs, yeah.
And I said, now you really need to stay here for the whole time that Jeremy's here. And she said, no, Harry and Grayson can do it. I just know they can do it, you know. Well, she really didn't get to meet that much with it. I mean, she met them and all, but...
She found out they weren't that awesome, huh?
No, she loves them. She loves them. But once she got with Jeremy and heard him, and Georgette helped her a lot when we were doing the I Give Life with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because she told me, she said, I'm not going to do that now if it's not real. I'm not going to fake it or anything like that. Well, when Georgette was working with her and I was there, she started, but then she just shut up, you know, a lot like I did. It was like, what was that? So so she'd been kind of working on it, and she believed it, and it wasn't that. But when she left today, she said she knew the ride home was going to be a real journey for her. And so she had been praying about it and praying, and right when she got into Waynesboro, the gift of utterance came upon her. And she was just floored, you know. So she pulls over, and she just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, and she texted me, and she said, I'm even singing it, and I love my voice. It sounds Spanish. But she did that all the way home. Then when she gets home, she's going to get her mail. She lives at World Golf Village, and you know how they have those community mail things. And she gets out of the car, and there's a rattlesnake in the middle, right in this big foyer-like thing where they go get the mail. Big old rattlesnake. And she said, she just said, go! And she said, that snake just took off, and she said she got her mail, and she was just feeling so good. And she said, I hopped back in my car. Yes, I hopped back in my car. And my sister's like, walks like this, but not since Jeremy, not since coming here. And before she left, I said, now, Jody, you know, I told you all about good news. And I told you how it's going to be. And I want you to be honest with me and tell me what you think. And she said, Jana, you had me built up to where my expectations were just way up here. I mean, way, way high. And she said, but since I've been here, she said, I just blew through the ceiling. She said, I cannot believe how wonderful this church is, how wonderful everybody is. She said, the love of Jesus is just, you're just bathed in it, you know, the minute you walk in the door. And she really wants to find a church down there that's like this one. Maybe we can get Greg to go down there. But anyway, it's just been a rejoicing trip for both she and I. And she knew that I had been healed with my back. And she said, you know, if he can heal your back, he can do anything. And it did work. She has full range of motion, and she's locked up. I mean, she's going and getting injections all in her neck just so she could tolerate, you know, and maybe move just a little bit. But she's turning her head around. She's jumping around. She is just awesome.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah. She was locked up, but the Lord unlocked her. She's free. Well, we have a few more minutes. Did anyone else want to share anything, something? Has anybody got something that's happened to them or with them in the last few days? Your dad will come and share that. And then Kathy.
We love you as much as you love us. And you can heal her too, right? So I was in Indianapolis for about maybe 3 weeks ago. But before that, my mom told me that my stepdad had laryngitis. Like he was trying to clear his throat and he couldn't. And she was on him and finally got him to go to the doctor. And they sent him to an ENT. And the ENT scoped his throat and she saw a nodule on his throat, and so she suggested that he have the procedure to, you know, to have it removed, right? And he said, what, in 2 years? And he said, no, and he said, 2 months, and she said, no, so they did it, in a week. But, you know, I told my mom, I said, you know, you don't have to worry, you know, about it, and I'm not concerned with it, you know, but you guys need to go, you know, then you need to go. So this was before we went. So then when we got to town, or when I got to town, I just felt like I needed to pray for him. But, you know, you understand, a lot of people don't have what we have as far as the knowledge and, you know, all of that. I never knew it either. But you take for granted, I guess, that people maybe do know, but they really don't. So I felt inclined and, you know, I shared with our leadership, you know, everybody was believing for boldness. And I really needed, you know, that because I was trying to get together. Because how do you minister to somebody and really try to teach them what they're going to receive so that they receive it, right? Because you can't just go and smack somebody and tell them they're healed and then whatever, right? Because that really doesn't work, I don't think. But so I didn't get to that day, but on the Sunday, I knew that I needed to do it because it was going to be the last day that we were going to see him. So I had already told both the kids, we're going to lay hands on Papaw. So, you know, I'm going to talk with him. We're going to lay hands on him, and you guys are just going to pray with me, and, you know, we're going to lay hands on him. And they were like, okay, you know, because they come here too, and that's just what we do. So I was believing God for boldness and knowledge of, what exactly to share with him. Because, again, he doesn't have anything. So I just shared about God's love and the authority that we have and shared the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And because, you know, at the end, it was her faith. He said, it's your faith that healed you, you know, go be free. And so I shared that with him. And I just told him about our authority and that when Jesus left, he said his disciples will do greater works and that we believe, you know, that he has healing for him. And so we laid hands on him and, you know, it was good. And it strangely got interrupted by a phone call. You know how that weird stuff goes. So we finished up and we kind of dispersed because we were getting ready for company and all of that. And I said to my mom, you know, she gave me a hug and told me she loved me. And I said, you know, I just got to share what I know and that it's not God's will, you know, to for him to be in pain or sick or even to worry, you know, about, you know, his God's love for him. And I said, I just got to tell him because he doesn't know. And the next words out of my mom's mouth were, I don't know either. You know, here's this woman that went to Mass. Where do you go every day? I mean, she took religion classes for 8 years. You know, she doesn't even know about God's love, like, really, you know. And I just started to cry. I was like, I'm so thankful that I am fed here, you know, so that I can take it too. And I know they're both saved because they've been here. You know, that's really how I know. But their neighbors that live behind them, she goes to church. You know, she's a spirit-filled, I, you know, believe. And but she came over to visit for our cookout, and she, mom had already told her, you know, that I prayed. And she said that when she was at church earlier in the day, that she heard, that her words were heard very clearly, that his family was supposed to pray over him. You know, so Terry kind of was like, he didn't understand that, heard very clearly. You know what I mean? And she said, well, I believe that I heard from God that your family was supposed to pray over you. And then when I got here, you know, your mom said that you guys already did. I said, yeah, I mean, it's just something that we have to do. And we agreed that it's confirmation and all of that. So he had his procedure. And the doctor said when she saw it that she saw that it was smooth. So it was not really, you know, anything for alarming. It didn't look alarming and all of that. And I told my mom, I believed, you know, that there wasn't anything to worry about, you know, from the beginning. But I just had to remind Terry that the healing is his, and that it is his to receive, and that it's his faith that needs to remain, you know, strong in that belief, and that God loves him. And, you know, the enemy is always going to try to come and, you know, steal your joy and kill your body and destroy your family. I mean, it's really what it all boils down to, and then all of the good things that go with it. So I'm just so thankful for Jesus and the love that God has for us, and that is available for everybody. And I'm thankful that I can go and share that, you know, 800 miles away. So I'm believing for all good reports. I just keep telling my mom that. She'll tell me about it. I said, you kind of feel bad because you don't ask about stuff because you're really not worried about it. You know what I mean? And I think that's okay because I'm not worried about it. But, I check on them, but everything seems to be going good. And, you know, I told him do something he couldn't do before after we prayed. And he said, well, I know I won't be able to talk yet. But we would have just been like, I can talk, you know, but then how do you get all that into them? So you just keep loving on people and keep telling them the good news, and they'll get it. Praise God.
Yeah, amen. Just stay with people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment and thank the Lord. Father, we just thank you tonight. You're a good and a loving and kind God. One theme we've heard here tonight is about your love and your goodness, that you are a loving God. And a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people have been told lies about you. They've been told that you're an angry God. You're a God who's out to get people, even putting horrible things on their lives to teach them something or for some greater purpose that we don't understand. But we're so thankful that Jesus came to show us the Father, and that he never put sickness on anybody. And that he never told anybody, no healing. It's not God's will for you to be healed. He wants you to suffer more. But Jesus never did that. Jesus came to tell us about a Father that people did not know, about a God that had not yet been revealed for who he really was. And we're so thankful for Jesus that not only did he do that for people 2,000 years ago, but he's still revealing the Father today through his body, through his hands and feet in the earth, through his mouth in the earth. The body of Christ. And Father, what a privilege it is for all of us to be part of that. What a privilege it is for all of us to be part of the body of Christ and to live under the same mission that they had in the early church, which was to go and to tell, to give people the good news of Jesus and to do the same works that Jesus did. Hallelujah. And it's not of ourselves. It is. It is the gift of God, because God is in us. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Glory to God. Well, I think we're going to close the service here in just a moment here. Nate, did you have anything you wanted to add about what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, some of you didn't get the opportunity to come to the meetings this week, and so maybe your faith has been stirred through just some of the testimony that's been shared. And that's just a glimpse of really the amazing things that took place. I mean, we saw ears pop open. I mean, my ears popped open. I had, on Friday night, went home, and I don't know if you've ever experienced, like, if you hold your nose and you blow, and then your ears can kind of get stopped up or whatever. I didn't do that, but, like, my left ear had that sensation of, I can't hear out of this thing. I don't know what happened. I don't remember doing anything, but, like, I just remember it, like, I can't hear out of this ear. And in my profession, or with my ability in music and stuff, I kind of need to be able to hear stuff. And so it was, I got in the shower, and I'm like, I knew to take my authority over this. And I was just screaming in the shower and go in the name of Jesus, like, really, like, you know, getting after it. And so it got a little better, and I was able to get some relief. I went to sleep. I woke up, and it was still had this kind of weird sensation about it. And here I am on Saturday morning at I Give Life Training. I'm teaching on doing the works of Jesus, and I've got this issue with my ear, and I'm like, this is good for me. I'm preaching to myself, preaching myself happy here. And so, you know, it's continually, like, getting better. So, and then Jeremy prayed for me. I told him it was like 90% there. And then when he laid hands on me, it just, you know, the rest of it went away. I say that to say that, you know, same God, the same God that opened my ear, the same God that healed Amy's stomach, the same God that touched these people on the streets, the same God that healed Jody's arthritis and all of her conditions, same God that healed Jana's back, the same God wants you to be healed and whole tonight. And so I don't want to close the service without us ministering to the sick. I don't want to do it in this way. We're not going to have anybody come forward and take time to, you know, pray for you and check in and all that kind of stuff. But I want, because we believe in empowerment here, that if you want prayer for something, just slip your hand, and then believers beside you will lay hands on you, and you'll see an instant change in Jesus' name. So if that's you, just say, hey, I'm encouraged. My faith's built up. I want somebody to pray for me. Just lift your hand. Keep it up until, why don't we all stand? Because we're going to close in just a second. But just raise your hand, and if there are believers around you, you guys walk over to that person, figure out what's going on. Rhonda, there you go. Ben, all right. Anybody else? You want prayer? And we'll stick around even after we close, because you like to talk with people and whatnot. We'll say a general prayer to close it up, and then we'll hear what's going on and get some testimony. Don't leave here without getting what you need. Don't leave here without getting what you need. It's for you. It's for you tonight. Amen. Father, I thank you for your healing power. Thank you that it's made manifest even tonight. Thank you, Father, that believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. That your word is not just a word that's spoken, but it's demonstrated. And so, Father, I thank you that you confirm your word even tonight with signs following. Thank you, Father, for the testimony that we heard about Willie Phelps. Same God, same God. You are the same God who heals all. You are the same God who heals all and feels all. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Father, I thank you that power is working in this body of believers. Thank you that power is working in this church, and it's working beyond the walls of this church as we carry it out into our worlds. Something's happening here. Something's happening. And so, Father, we thank you. We move with you. We move with you. We're stirred up and believing and expecting mighty works. Mighty works. Mighty works among us. And mighty works through us. We declare these things in Jesus' name. Amen.